This is the Chasing Tomorrow podcast with Joe Gagnon. We bring you captivating conversations that will inspire all of us to go after our own version of a high-performance life.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Chasing Tomorrow podcast. I'm here today with Dr. Chiropractor JC Aikenhead. We're going to have a really fun conversation. I'll tell you why. Interestingly enough, this past weekend, I was down in West Palm Beach at a longevity conference. And I sat there listening to a lot of smart people going from the idea of you can take a pill to make your life longer, to exercise, to community, to mindset, to all of these elements of nutrition and others that we talk about from time to time. And I think as we dig deeper into this health journey that we're all on, getting to know, and I think you're really going to enjoy JC has to say here, is that there is really a lot of practicality to what we can do, how we can take more responsibility for ourselves and for our health going forward. And so we're going to get into some of the details, how he thinks about health and wellness. He's a young guy, but he's thinking prospectively about the next 40 to 50 years, but also influencing the community. So I'm very excited to have him on the podcast. JC, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for getting on with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So, you know, the best part or the best way to start this always is a little bit of who are you? Where did you grow up? What did you think about? Were you an athlete along the way? How did you find yourself to this moment now where you are? You're running this business, helping people perform better, get better, et cetera.
Yeah, great question. My name is JC Aikenhead. I'm currently located in the western suburbs of Chicago and grew up here. I spent a little time away. I went to college in Indianapolis. I played 5 years of pro soccer abroad. So I played in three different continents. And actually what happened was, one of the reasons why I had to stop was because I was carrying a hamstring injury that no one could figure out. I went to all the best physios. I went all over the place. I was doing PRP. I was doing acupuncture. I was doing rehab, PT, chiro, everything under the sun. And no one could really tell me why this was occurring. And I had the biggest hamstrings in the world. It was like bodybuilder hamstrings. But I would still slip in the shower and I would pull it and I would tear it. So then that started my journey into figuring out what the heck is going on, because there's other people around me that are skinnier, that are stronger, that are not as strong. And all these people around me are not slipping on a wet floor and tearing their hamstring. They're not transitioning from a jog to a sprint and pulling their hamstring. Why me? So I got into just a reading and started picking up books and started picking up ideas and principles and concepts. And then I met my wife and it was time to settle down and decide on a career. And so I was kind of flipping back and forth between physical therapy and chiropractic. I have a chiropractic background. Both my parents are chiropractors. So I decided to go into chiropractic world knowing that I was going to get out and I was going to do rehab anyways. I just needed a medical license. And so essentially what I did from there is when I graduated, my wife was 9 months pregnant with my first son. I had to get a job as quickly as possible. I went to a high volume clinic. They were really good to me. I did not like it because I was having to spend no longer than 10 minutes with a patient, more like 5. And there were people that I just knew if I could spend more time with you, if we could troubleshoot this, if I can try some stuff, test and retest, we would figure it out and we'd get you better. I never got that opportunity. So I finished my contract there because I'm a man of my word. And then some things occurred. Essentially started my own practice in March of last year. So it came up on 1 year just recently. It's been a heck of a ride. And now I treat people exactly what I want to do, which is what I call root cause treatment and performance rehab. So we find someone comes in with back pain. Of course, your back is a problem, but why is your back the problem? So it's all about finding the why. It's all about digging into deeper layers for why people are dealing with issues. And I also see people for performance. People know that they're leaving stuff on the table, whether it be running, working out. Golf is my big niche. So golfers, everyone wants to hit the ball a little further, hit the ball a little bit cleaner and be a little more consistent. So I have quite a golf population as well. And that's my niche. That's who I do the best with. So now we are essentially figuring out exactly why people are moving well or not moving well. We are able to make some really concise changes in how they move. And then ultimately, the magic is in the homework I give them and the empowerment of what I give them to do. Because it's not a doctor dependent model. All right, my business is very much acquisition of patients and then letting them go, and not a retention business. So it's different than any chiropractor or kind of revolving door physical therapist you'll ever see. I know people that have come to see me that they've been going to physical therapy for a year. All right. Something should happen within a year. It takes 12 weeks. Strength and conditioning literature says it takes 12 weeks to create a physiologic change. That's a maximum, right? And so if we're not anywhere within 12 weeks, we have a problem, right? Same thing with chiropractic. Though they help a lot of people, I knew I wanted to do stuff differently because I've seen a lot of people that, hey, my chiropractor moved, right? What happens when your chiropractor moved? The person that you rely on to crack your neck and crack your back and get you moving well for the next week. It didn't pass the pillow test for me. I'm a fixer. I'm a guy, so I'm a fixer naturally, right? But I wanted to fix people. I wanted to put on my mechanical lens. I wanted to fix people and ultimately empower them to be well long-term, because it's really easy to leave the responsibility to others and not carry it yourself. So if we can empower, that's what I do, right? We empower our patients to, hey, if you sign on with me, you are agreeing to do your homework and to continue to do your homework, because I need a good Google review and I don't want you coming back with, hey, we have this issue now. So that's a little bit about me, a little bit of my origin story and how we kicked off. And every day is a journey, and I'm happy to be here, happy to be on the ride. So
yeah, no, that's awesome. Who would have known, right? And sometimes you start off like you did as probably thinking you're going to be a pro soccer player, and here 100%. You are out helping people. I think the interesting part that I'd like to dig a little bit deeper into is this idea of this human body as a system, right? Mm. There's two parts of it, right? You want it to sort of operate at a good performant level day to day. And then there's something like golf or any other sport where you're actually going to use it slightly differently than showing up for work and family and all the things that we're going to do. And so it's through the understanding, though, of how the system works, right, that makes you both show up well for both, right? And you're helping. Absolutely. I like this idea that your goal is actually to inform and empower and not create dependence, right? The best relationships are independent, autonomous relationships, not dependent. And they might come back again because absolutely, they want to take it to the next level. So tell me a little bit about sort of as you were digging into this and thinking about the balance between these systems and understanding, because that's what's cool about a chiropractor. You understand how the functional system works.
Without a doubt.
And making that really come to life. Tell a little bit more about how that's evolving for you.
Yeah, this is a great question. And it's evolved significantly and continues to evolve. That's the cool thing about it, kind of my space, is that I'm always kind of flirting with the edge of evidence-based stuff and stuff that's new, stuff that no one talks about or understands or we try it, right? We see the validity. And it's all movement-based stuff, so it's not like I'm bringing external things and trying to fix people. But the human body is meant to do, from a functional standpoint, it's meant to do less things than we actually think. So walking and breathing are like the two main things, right? Like, you have a developmental system, developmental kinesiology, a neurologic system that's literally only geared to getting you upright. And then that's about it. Everything else that we do. So I don't have a beef with it, because it's good. It's certainly in the right direction. But they're like the term of functional training. I don't exactly know if that definition is 100% correct. Now, I think it's great, right? I go to gyms myself, and I certainly do CrossFit on occasion. I go to functional training gyms. But with the idea of This is what the body knows and is used to. It's, in my opinion, it's a farce, because there weren't chairs, right? There weren't dumbbells, right? There weren't barbells, there weren't booty bands, there weren't any of this stuff, right? As we kind of evolved as a species. So currently, kind of where I'm at is we have man-made constructs, and we have neurologic input that needs to be delivered. Plain and simple, right? And it starts with our gait, and it starts with how we breathe. We can kind of layer on. So I take people through developmental kinesiology, DNS, if you've heard of that as well, which we kind of dial back. So someone that comes in with stiffness because of, let's call it compensation or overuse or buzzwords, but let's call it those things. We try to bring it all back to when you were the perfect machine when you were 3 years old. You didn't have any muscle tone on your body. You were able to squat to depth and touch your butt to the ground with no issue, right? Because you weren't holding any tension, right? So when you're holding tension, when you do these kind of repetitive activities, when you do these disciplines and these things that are going to require certain postures and certain things, we know we're going to have some of that, just plain and simple, right? So we try to wheel them back to when they were like moving better to the point of when they were younger, and then teach them how to do that, because it's going to be a constant thing. So like myself, I'm playing a decent amount of golf. Golf, great sport. I'm swinging. I'm doing certain things on one side versus the other, right? So I know that I need to maintain. So as we kind of get into disciplines, it could be anything, right? Even so, we think golf. Okay, obviously you're swinging to one side, and okay, of course you're going to have more muscle mass on one side of your back than the other. How about running, right? I see a lot of runners that are locked into extension positions that are unable to unload their low backs, and they're kind of pounding their back for long periods of time. Let's talk about kind of what's happening at the feet, the knees, the hips, the ankles. The body is a perfect machine if we allow it to be a perfect machine. But I like movement as a dial, right? So we want to be in neutral as much as possible. Now, your sport, I know you do a significant amount of running, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, that's yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So your body has postures and positions that it requires for you to run long distances, right? Now, those are different muscles. That's a different movement strategy than is required for you to squat, that is required for you to fold forward, right? But you need access to both in order to stay well, right? The guy that I call him war horses, right? Everyone knows that guy that's in the running group, that he's stiff as a board and he just keeps cranking. That war horse, he needs to access some of that length in his muscles. He needs to give his body the awareness, the access of these ranges of motion in order for him to be able to run at his capacity of whatever he wants to do for long term. So if we just kind of pigeonhole ourselves, right? And running in itself, that's a pure thing. That's a very, very pure thing. But it came to pass because we had to start chasing things down. We had to start hunting things. We had to start doing things like that. And now it's a sport. Now it's a discipline and a sport, and it's great. I'm not saying anything is good or bad. I'm just saying it is what it is. And we need to make sure that we're aware of that, and we have the capability to find our neutral, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, oh, totally. I think that, so let's pull on this just a little bit.
Sure.
Right. So what we're maybe coming out of this conference, and I've been spending more time, on this idea of health span, not just lifespan, not living
Absolutely.
Just longer, but living healthier, more functional over time. You know, we love Peter Attia with his 80-year-old Olympics, being able to carry your groceries up the stairs kind of thing, play with your grandchildren. And so understanding that what we do actually is the reason why that will happen. Health span doesn't happen. Actually, we're
Correct.
In decline post 37 years old, decreasing in production, getting stiffer, all the things are going the wrong way. However, and we know we're not going to live forever, but along the way, from that moment when we're no longer in this sort of incline of resiliency and we're now in this management, we should say, tell us a little bit about how you're thinking about, because this point about running is, yeah, of course, I've run 50,000 miles in the past 20 years. So it's a lot of running and still feel great, but could probably be doing some other activities that would complement. I talked to a guy one day, he said, if you do push-ups, you should do pull-ups. Like create the balance. So how do you want us to think a little bit about what do we do as a responsible person who wants to live a healthier life?
Yeah. So I think you got the first part down, which is just move, right? So we're going to start there. We're going to start there with just moving. Now, I personally, I'm a non-believer in you stiffening up over time. I don't believe that. I've seen plenty of people that are 20 years older than me that can rotate their thoracic spine, right? Can create a shoulder turn in the golf swing way better than me. I've also gone to running clubs where there's someone 20 or 30 years older than me that moves way better, and they're effortlessly running and I'm chugging along, right? And they're dusting me on this 10-mile run. And so I don't give much credence, right? Now I'm the first one to say that I don't know all the ins and outs of the physiology. You kind of spoke about mitochondria and the aging process, the oxidation. That's there. That's a thing. I'm not saying that's not a thing. But we do have the capability to maintain all our range of motion, to maintain all our patterns, our movement patterns, right? And I recommend that we do that quite regularly. So let's just kind of focus on the running aspect here. Running is, we're creating, depending on the speed of your run, we're creating limited-ish amounts of hip flexion and hip extension, right, for the most part. We're also creating significant amounts of low back extension, probably thoracic extension as well, in significant periods of time, right? So if you've run that much over the past 20 years, which is awesome, you spent a lot of time with your body having to hold you up and suspend you so you can just kind of clear your feet and put your foot in the ground and put another one forward. So just being able to get into those opposite ranges of motion, right? So for you in particular, depending kind of where you're at, obviously I haven't examined you yet, but I would imagine that we don't have a ton of lumbar flexion. Maybe not. But that's something that's been demonized over time, right? Lumbar flexion, bad for the disc, blah, blah, blah. The body's meant to move there. So we got to get there. Our body has to be capable of getting there, or else we're going to see negative effects. Runners tend to have tighter hips, right? They tend to have, some would say, kind of shorter muscles because they don't have these full ranges of motion. So let's work on that. Let's make sure that we are creating enough access within the hip joint. Let's make sure we're working on our ankles, making sure we have the right amount of dorsiflexion. Just if you notice that you are within a certain pattern for a period of time, let's get outside that pattern during our kind of daily movement activities, right? So when you go to run, we have more access and we're going to keep our joints healthier. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, it does. And so if we talked about, of course, there's 20 million runners in the US, yeah. There's 20 million golfers in the US, a lot yeah. of people playing pickleball, all of these, which we tend to fall in love with, any of us, right? We yeah. tend not to do them all because there's right. a limited time and probably attention for it. And so in each of these, I think that, so what I'm hearing a little bit is that for whatever it optimizes on, then think about the other parts that are not getting optimized. So okay, let's talk about yep. for a second here, right? So golfing is a lot of torque, right? And yep. we're going to use our system that way. And I want to golf for the next, I want to golf till I'm 80. How did we manage that and create enough stable base? And like, what are the things like across each yeah. of these? How does someone think about what's the other to fill in?
Yeah. So this is, I always kind of ride a fine line here because I'm very big on the individual, right? So I don't necessarily, right? So that's my disclaimer. My disclaimer is everyone has a movement strategy. And for me, yep. just to throw a generalized program out could be helpful, but likely not. But so like golf is a great one because of all the torque, because of all the side bending that occurs and essentially having to get to some serious end ranges of your joints. And what I find the best with the golfers is focusing on two areas to start, and that's the rib cage and the pelvis. So a lot of people breathe incorrectly. We haven't dove into this that much, but breathing yeah. is movement for me, and breathing and movement are intimately linked. That's our foundation. So if we're unable to breathe properly, if we're unable to get the right amount of expansion and compression, essentially within our rib cage and our abdomen, we know that we're going to compensate something. So I would always start with that. And even for runners, even for CrossFitters, pickleball players, everything. The second one's the pelvis. The pelvis is going to create a certain orientation that your body, the pelvis itself is not as apt to move as all your other joints. So over time, we're going to move it. And then it's going to take longer time to move it back and kind of create neutral. But we're certainly looking at making sure not just our extremities are good, right? But our central basis is good as well. Now, back to the golf specifically, we're going to make sure that everyone from a spinal standpoint has segmental flexion extension and the correct amounts of rotation and lateral flexion within each segment, right? So there's a discipline called FRC, functional range conditioning, that goes through this. I use a bit of it. The time is right. I myself am not married to any system. It's a good place to be. I would highly recommend it for anyone else that's a practitioner listening out there. We can essentially create as much conditioning, right? We can create some awareness and allow you to get your body into positions that it isn't really in mentally, right? We don't want to move like a fridge. We don't want to rotate everything at once. We want to make sure that we can create separation, right? And it's the same thing when it comes to the spine. We want to make sure we can create segmental separation. We don't want to move all our mid back at once. We want to be able to tease out the right motions. That's a great one for golf. Another one that's really important for golf is making sure the hips are good. A lot of people are going to create significant amounts of a lot of turn through their hips by essentially putting pressure against the capsule. So they don't have the actual internal rotation if they're a right-handed golfer on their left side, and they're going to flare that hip out in order to get their body across and shift that weight. And there's a capsule around that joint. And the more we beat on that, the more lax it's going to get in some capacities, and that's going to be painful over time as well. But from a general, just kind of what should we be thinking on? We should be thinking, how well do we move at every single space in our body, right? For me, it starts with breathing. It also comes to the pelvis. And those are like my main two focuses in the beginning. Because what I found is if we get those two places right, everything else downstream is going to tend to play a lot better with us, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I like that. So I want to talk about consistency here in a second, because I think that's one of the hallmarks. What I like about what you said, and by the way, JC, I totally agree that all of us can have some bit of general foundation knowledge and the rest of it's us and having support along the way. Part of it is us all learning some of these elements and getting access to people like you, and people are thinking more. We all say this in the health system, which is we only work on sick care, not well care. This is about sort of turning us on the other side, which is, yes, you want to do these activities. Movement matters. Breathing matters. And then this additive sort of nuance of the subtlety that makes the system just better. Then you go, oh, wow, I feel so good.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how do you think that this sort of, so you're a foundation guy. I come see you and you're, oh, wow, here's some things to go do. How do you talk to people about consistency because consistency builds, right? It's not actually about Absolutely. Just a plateau. Yeah. How do you think about that and talk to your patients about that?
Yeah. So it's for me, it's really going to come down to the why behind everything, right? I get internal motivation on every single person that comes in. That's part of my first phone call, right? Yep. So to come in to see me, you got to get on the phone with me first. You can't just book online and show up. I need to know about you, who you are, what your core values are essentially, and why you're doing this, right? It's very easy to say, I just want to get out of pain, but getting out of pain is really easy, very easy, right? You can go get an injection. You can take some Advil. You can not do your activity, right, for a while, right? But a better way is kind of build it towards a goal and at least give them something to chase, right? So I have some people that come in, hey, I got this golf trip coming up in May. Can you get me there? Absolutely, we can get you there. But now everything that we do is going to be taken back to that golf trip in May. So me sending you home with that homework, are we moving ourselves toward that golf trip in May? And then I essentially teach them that the goalposts are going to move, right? So you're going to get past the golf trip, but you're going to want to stay that way, right? And then by that time, ideally, we've established the values and we're able to show them the difference pretty quickly, actually. Ideally, people are bought in or not bought in within a couple visits, really. But I like to get them bought in really early. Hey, what is our goal? I want to do push-ups during my workout class. No problem. We can get you there. This is what we need to do. And when you go home, when you get home from work and it's 5:30 and you don't want to do those exercises that I prescribed to you two times a day, I want you to think push-ups, right? Why do you want to do, and I can even go a little deeper. Why do you have to do push-ups, right? Why? Because a lot of people don't do push-ups. Why do you have to do push-ups? Well, it's because of my bones, because osteoporosis, right? Okay, well, a lot of people just let their osteoporosis go. Why do you need to take care of this? And why am I the person for you, right? Well, it's because my mom had it and I saw her in a wheelchair. She broke her hip and that was the decline, right? So if we tie that into the why and just take it layers deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, we're going to have more buy-in. We're going to have more consistency. And ultimately, I mean, in my opinion, you got to get to a practitioner that's going to really hold you to it. I know when someone hasn't done their homework because I test them. What did we do this week? If they're going, was it like this? They haven't done their homework, right? Another thing that I do that's completely different is I create the best access to a doctor anyone's ever seen. People have my personal cell phone number, right? If you have any questions, I am not only recommending, I'm demanding that you text me and I will get back to you within 24 hours because every day for some of these people, every day is a day we can push forward or fall back, right? So we got to make sure every day we're pushing forward. Bank of tomorrow kind of deal, right? We're taking that change jar and we're putting everything we got at the end of the day in that change jar. We do that for 20 years. We're going to have a significant amount of of money there at the end, right?
I like that. That metaphor is a good one because I don't know if we sometimes think about it. Because like your point was, okay, I'm going to get you to the golf trip in May. And we will, because we're dopamine addicts, yeah. Right? Yeah. And I'm on it. And then I come back and then life takes over. And 100%. All of a sudden I stop putting change in the change jar. Whatever I got to, actually, we know this too, that money loses value over time if you don't Absolutely. Do something with it, if you don't invest it.
Good and point.
This idea of continuing to invest in ourselves at a level that's sustainable, because my understanding, and I'm not a medical practitioner in any way, though, is that every sort of benefit that you get declines back to sort of homeostasis over time. So 3, 5, 6 weeks later, almost all the benefits are gone, all the increases in. So the consistency matters. And have you seen any good techniques to remind people of how to stay consistent?
Yeah. So I love the group dynamic. So there's a couple things that I do. One thing that I do, I like to do, and I think it goes over really well, is if people don't have a group that they do stuff with, whatever activity that is, if it's a running group, a gym or class within a gym, or like a golf instructor, or like a group of people that they play with, or a league, I find them one. That's part of our process, right? Are you affiliated with any gym? No, I'm not. I'm just kind of this guy that just kind of goes in and out, and I go in and I do my stuff and I like it. Well, just like it's going to change a little bit, and we're going to tailor it to you with what you want to do. I'm not going to force you to go into a workout class. At the very least, you're going to have a workout partner. At the very least, you're going to buy a month pack of personal training with this trainer that I know over here, and he's really good. And I love what he does. At the very least, you're going to, after you're done with treatment, you're committing to a month with this golf coach who's going to give them that performance aspect. We tend to run from pain, run to pleasure kind of deal. So as people are running from pain, right, we need them to give them something else to run to, right? So I want to give them performance as much. As soon as they're out of pain, I'm giving them as much performance as I can. And then I'm getting them the right help afterwards, the right affiliations, the right groups afterwards that are going to help them perform better so they can continue to chase the carrot of, yeah, not only is my back pain gone, but I'm playing better golf than I ever have, right? And I'm 5 years, the last time I was at this handicap was 10 years ago, right? Like that's the goal,
right?
That's what we're doing. So yeah, so it's very much getting people into that tribe and or getting them to the right step afterwards, and not just letting them go away, float into the ether and hope it gets better kind of deal. So
yeah, I love the idea of community and some accountability partner in our lives, whether it's people we meet at the gym or someone we go play golf with. I think actually the most fascinating part about pickleball to me, and I'm not a pickleball player, I've tried it a couple of times, I think it's cool, is the community aspect. Everyone goes and hangs out with each other. Every other sport, we're sort of running home or go.
Yeah.
Like if you play tennis, you go for an hour, 4 people, you're done. Here, these pickleballers play for 5 hours, 6 hours. They're just. And so that community thing is really
it's a big deal.
Fascinating part of why it's been so great. And I think with golf, it's the same. You can spend a lot of time with some friends. I think the golf swing and the golf game, of course, anyone who's a golf addict always wants to do better and hit it a little farther or get a better score. So it's an endless journey. You'll never get to the 59,
right?
On holes. So, so as you think about, but where I'd like to go for a second is the layers that you can go through, right? So JC meets someone, he's like, assess, like, okay, we can get through the first layer here. Let me just tell you, there are so many layers I can get you through, but you got to get through the first, and that's how we stay committed. Do you think a little bit that way so that it excites people about the process?
Absolutely.
But they're building foundation pieces at a time here.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, there's 3 parts to, and I lay this out to them on the first day. There's 3 parts to what we do here, right? We're going to give you more awareness and access to joint range of motion. Then we're going to correct the movement around it. Then after that, it's all what we call reintegration. So we're making the body more tempered, right? We're making the new movements that we have, the skills, right? I'm very much kind of teaching them movement skills, the skills that we acquire. Now we're putting it into action, right? So that's why people are coming out and they're like pumped, because not only am I feeling better, but I'm playing better. I'm performing better.
Yeah.
And then from there, it's showing them what's possible, right? Because a lot of people are just stuck, right? I've been the same golfer. I've been the same runner. I've been the same, right? I've run for 30 years, but it's been the same running year for, it's been 1 year, 30 years in a row, right? So instead, let's make this next year, let's make this your year. Let's make this a year where you're growing and you are creating a scenario that you're trimming times off, right? You're trimming scores off your game. You're trimming strokes off your game. You're faster. You're able to, for a CrossFit, you're able to go RX instead of do whatever, scaled every single time. And just kind of igniting that fire within them. Because I think from a cultural standard, I mean, everyone loves to watch competition, but not everyone wants to be in it, right? Everyone loves to watch the game, but they don't necessarily. And I think that's important. It's kind of who we are as a species. And we kind of get in a comfort level that just, I don't need to compete against anything. I have a job. I have this, I have that. And I think if we stoke that fire a little bit, it's within us, right? It's within us as a human race. And so we can, I think if we get stuff for the right people, right? If we can kind of instill that back into them, I think it's going to give them way more motivation to stay on their task longer, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It's that sort of sad thing though. That's not me. I can't do that. And the only obstacle isn't that. The obstacle is that you just have to put in the work and learn the foundation. Yeah. I mean, a golf swing is great in this way that I think sometimes I was a good caddy and I played golf with my dad and my brother and we always had a good time. And you and I went out tomorrow, I could look like a reasonably good golfer, wouldn't score anything. But
me neither.
But we focus so much on, okay, this, I got to make this turn. This, but the physical piece, if you are just all you're focused on is keep your head down and don't sway your hips, you're not really actually understanding that how the system should work and that the way to hit the ball better is actually start with the sort of the basics. But I would say that that's the same with all the rest of these activities. If you don't start there, then you get frustrated and then you pop out because I didn't get any better. And but it's always, you can always get better, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a lot about is just stacking wins, right? This is like a kind of personal development 101. And it's very much in the, I think in the medical kind of my field as well. It's, we need to stack wins. We need to set objectives, targets. We need to hit them. And then that's actually going to change who you are. That's going to change your self-esteem about how you view yourself and how you think about yourself. And that's where actual transformation comes from, in my opinion. Because as you said, like someone, I can't do that. Well, it's funny you say that because a month ago, you couldn't even lift your arm up over your head, right? So now, and I understand that might not be your goal. I understand that pressing 100 pounds over your head, that's probably not your goal. Maybe it shouldn't be. For me, it makes no difference. But the fact is kind of showing them what is possible, because this same person that's pressing 100 pounds over their head, two months ago, they were where you are, right? Or they were where you started with, right? So a lot of it is showing people what's possible, showing them what they can actually do, and then stacking wins on top of it and just giving them that momentum, right? Giving them the momentum to keep going. And that's going to be layer on motivation on top of it. And that's going to compound, right? So that's the biggest force of nature, right? Is compounding interest. So that's going to compound on itself.
I like this idea that people say the mind-body connection, the mind and the body are one. They don't separate, right? Nope. These things are integrated. Yeah, they're the same. 100%. And when you get them both working together, I mean, the best part about what we're talking about, say, let's pick on golf for a second, because it's easy to measure, is you show up on your Saturday with your foursome and start hitting the ball better. And everyone's, hey, JC, what happened to you? Why are you all of a sudden playing so well? And everyone wants to know.
Yeah. What a great
why
feeling.
That happened, right?
What a great feeling, right?
Right?
Yeah.
It's worth the effort then. And I think that that's the other part of this. If health span matters, and I'm sure that we could find someone who says that they don't care about health span, but I don't think they're probably being genuine. But it's about owning it, right? It's about saying that if health span is going to matter to me, because at some point it will. You're going to wake up someday, you're 70 years old, and you go, oh my God, what happened? Why didn't I pay attention to this? This is something we have to think about when we're 20, 30, 40, 50. There's not like wait till later, right?
Absolutely not. The opportunity costs, right? So wait till later. You're going to be paying more later, right? And time is the only thing that we can't get back, right? So I mean, for kind of what you said there, kind of comes back to internal motivation. You mentioned there might be someone that's not interested in health span, but that person that's not interested in it, they simply don't have the right why. They just don't. So the person
that's
true. Or they're just walling it off, right? Or they're just so callous and they're just so biased in what they're doing that they don't have it's it kind of comes down to happiness in my opinion. My happiness, I got two sons at home, and my happiness is going to be watching them have kids. So I better be around for that. I better be feeling well for that. I don't want to be laid up somewhere, put away in a closet, and to be seen on holidays. That doesn't sound like life to me. But that's my why, right? That is my why. And it's why I do everything. That's why I picked up golf, because I want something that I can do. My 4-year-old happens to like it. So we go out and we play. I want to continue to play with him for the next 30, 40 years. And then hopefully grandkids on top of it. That would be the apex of my life right there. If we got 3 generations out on the golf course, that'd be great. That'd be amazing. Okay. Right? I think everyone listening to this, if you like golf at all, you picturing it, that's the apex of a golfer, in my opinion. So that's where we're at, right? If we just find the right why behind it, that's going to be way more valuable than learning some new thing, trying a new diet, right? It starts with why, right? It starts with the why, and that's going to give you everything you need, in my opinion, to push forward. So
The kids thing, I have 2 daughters who are adults now, and I can go out for a 10-mile run with them and
awesome,
all this investment of time. Yeah. How does it get better than that?
I don't think it does.
So the concept that you probably have thought about this too, but I was thinking we worked really hard over the past 50 years to tell people that you should start a 401k, this investment in your retirement when you're 25 years old. Like even if it's $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever you could put in. But you sort of, oh my God, that's like 30, 40, 50 years later. Why would I? Then if you make it through this journey, and then at the end of it, you're like hundreds of thousands of dollars because of the compounding interest and this consistency. And then we have our, so we're more people do that than ever, knowing that this investment pays off later. Then we have our health, and we should be investing the same way, right? What's our 401k for ourselves? Like if you do 10 minutes now and an hour later, in 5 hours, and it just adds up, right, to this strong foundation. I certainly feel like I found that. And then later you're there, wow, that was really worth it. This foundation thinking is so important, but it's never too early.
Never too early. Never too early.
Hey guys, Joe Gagnon, host of the Chasing Tomorrow podcast, and this episode is brought to you by 1UP Health. 1UP Health is a modern cloud data and interoperability platform that makes it easy to acquire, store, and share data between payers, providers, and patients. I hope you enjoy the episode.
For the first time in a long time, I had someone come to see me, not because he was in pain, but because he was concerned that he would be in pain in 20 years. That doesn't happen often. Interesting. Doesn't happen often, right?
Yeah.
Because pain's our main motivator in life, right? That's the sad part, is pain is our main motivator. But this guy, kudos to him, perfect patient, comes in. He's like, I'm just concerned about what this is going to look like, and I need some help. Perfect. Perfect. And not only is he going to stay well, but we're going to be able to push that envelope. Like we're going to be able to hit that throttle a lot harder than someone who is in pain, right? He's going to make so much more gains than someone that we are having to kind of play around a little bit and orchestrate a strategy around pain perspective, right? So it is a very phenomenal thing, and I agree with you. If we think about it the same way, if you are invested in any sort, in any stocks, 401k, crypto, company, anything, we could flip that exactly on your health, right? It's impossible for you to say I don't like investing in that, right? Because one, all that money you're putting in, you ain't gonna be able to use it. Let's call it what it is, right? you're gonna take trips. Uh-huh. You're gonna travel in your golden years if you can't walk, right? Or if you got to be on dialysis all the time, probably not, right? That's a great way to look at it. Let's make sure that we give the same attention to our bodies, right? That we're giving to everything else, right? So, and let's not let pain be our motivator.
We show up better.
Yeah,
you show up at like the stress, like we, of course, you have 2 kids, you're working, you have family, your business, there's some stresses, but you'll carry them better if you're physically strong.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
We then can shoulder all, but when we're, it's interesting, when you're physically weak, other stuff makes it even harder to deal with. And
oh yeah,
it becomes cascading negatively. If you get yourself moving, what I've tried to do is to sort of fall in love with the hard stuff. So today it was at 29 degrees and 20 mile an hour winds. And I went out for a run. And I got to tell you, it was cold. And yeah. I smiled the whole time because I felt privileged to be able to go out and endure through that and took away from it. I built up this capability to do that rather than hide from it. So I can lean into the stress and tolerate.
Yeah.
And I think that if we can all do that, if you can build stronger people, then they'll lean in harder and better to the stuff that happens in their lives.
Yeah. That's something that served me, that exact kind of mentality, something that served me really, really well. And it continues to serve me really well growing up in sport, growing up playing soccer and working hard to be really good at it. There are people that was like, you go out and it's the same. We'd have to go out. I'm in Chicago, right? So we'll have to play in 30 degrees, right? And it's 34 and rainy, right? The worst possible weather. Oh. And it's like some people actually have to be out here to survive, right? And they're not complaining, right? I have none. I can step into that car at any time, right? I can step inside at any time. But there are people out here that have to do this to make a living or to just plain survive. If we can kind of bring it back to that, right? If we can just kind of toughen up a little bit in that perspective, I think we're going to be well off, right? It's the comfort crisis. That's a book. I can't remember the author's name off the top of my head, but it's a great book where it just talks about we're in a scenario where we are kind of pushing towards comfort all the time. And the more we do that, the worse we get in body, mind, and spirit, right? So I agree with you, doing the hard things. And for me, like from a business perspective, I said from day one, I'm going to do the things that no one else wants to do. Nobody. So I'm going to do the cold calls. I'm going to do the cold drop-ins. I'm going to get on the phone with everybody. I'm going to do all the stuff that people shy away from. Because if I only do that, that'll separate me on some level. All the other skills will come. Everything else will come with time, right? I'll learn more. I'll do better. I'm good clinically. So I knew I didn't have to worry about that. I'm just going to do what no one else wants to do. No one else wants to be out, close their office on a Friday night and be out at a gym working on people to get leads. No one wants to do that, but I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that as much as I can, right? So I think the more we can do that in general, as a society, as a human race, especially here in the United States, where we are so privileged, there's comfort. And I drove through and someone handed me coffee today, right? It doesn't get much better than that. So we're going to have to correct that on some level, right? And I think physical activity is a really good way of doing it, at least kind of changing your mind, at least kind of tuning your mind towards I'm going to do hard stuff. I'm going to go above and beyond. And I'm going to really take care of everything that's bestowed upon me. So.
All right. One more question and we'll wrap up in a second here. So someone comes in, right? They've sort of done nothing for a long time.
Yeah.
They're sort of stuck. Because one of the things, you always see the end of the story. Oh my God, this person, they shot a 68, or someone goes and wins a race. Or we only see the end, not the beginning and the struggle. So how do you get people sort of going so they do feel good about that one step is the start?
Yeah. For me, it's having those clear expectations, right? So one of my best patients right now is a guy that has had back pain for 20 years. He's afraid, literally afraid, has fear in his mind to bend over because every time he bends over, he throws his back out. So for that guy, it's being really, really intentional on explaining what we're doing and that the body is meant to do this, essentially showing them and demonstrating that this is something they are meant to do, that their body actually needs to do for long term, and then putting it in controlled environments where they're constantly kind of making small steps forward. So they're looking, so we're taking small steps in the office, metaphorical steps, and then we look back at where we were before and, oh wow, I'm actually doing better, right? And then they go a little bit further and they look back and, oh, we're further than we were before. Because it's really easy to constantly think, yeah, but my back's still sore. Yeah, but you couldn't do that. You couldn't do any of this 3 weeks ago. Yeah. You couldn't, like, I put a weight in your hand and you laughed at me, right? So I think we're doing pretty good. And just constantly having that perspective, right? So I think the answer there is perspective. All right. Giving them the perspective, of where they are, and it right now is not where they're going to be and not where they need to go, but it's certainly better than where they were a month ago, right? So I think perspective is what I do there. So
yeah, a little bit of measurement, the feedback, the support that you're providing.
Yeah.
That's all part of this journey of what we do for each other. And so as you think about the next few years, and when I started this podcast, Chasing Tomorrow, thing was always, I was in the podcast, which, what's your chasing tomorrow, JC? Like, what's next for you? How are you thinking about the next few years?
I got a lot on the horizon. I got a lot of good things on the horizon that they're coming to pass simply because I'm going to will myself there. And I mean, what we're going to do is we're going to build the, in the Chicagoland area, and then start spreading out, is we're going to start building the finest golf physio, golf performance treatment that you can have. It's going to be everything all in one stop. It's going to be the highest quality root cause treatment, the highest quality instruction, and we're going to serve our population better than anyone else. And we're just going to continue to grow, continue to sharpen the blade business-wise and clinically. And my practice is growing. I'm bringing on a doctor this summer. So it's going to go from one practitioner to two. So I'm going to be mentoring a little bit there and continue the mentorship journey as well. And probably start I've been in talks right now with a education company to start a course on how to treat golfers well without just doing the cookie cutter nonsense. So we got a lot of good stuff coming. But that being said, I'm enjoying the journey. And it's all a journey, right? So if I get there in 30 years, it's going to be great. If I get there in the plan 5 years, it's still going to be great. We're going to be content wherever we're at. So because everywhere we're at, we're creating change and leaving the world a little bit better than we found it. So that's where we're at. That's tomorrow for me. So
that's amazing. And so people can follow you on Instagram. Is that the best way if they want
Instagram's
to see what you're up
to? Instagram's the best one right now. I'm actually in the process of getting a website built out for me. Instagram, simply at Specialized Rehab. And can I plug my podcast as well?
Oh, please. Yeah.
Yeah. So I actually have a very small podcast, not as well done as this one, but it's called The Movement Code. So The Movement Code, you can find on Spotify and Apple. And it's a weekly Friday one, around 10 minutes, where I just kind of dive into mostly questions, or people send me questions, or stuff that I've seen in the office or in the hitting bay that week. So it's kind of cool one. It's a little passion project of mine, and we dive into the randomest things, but it's been a good little fun release for me, getting some information out there. So,
well, thanks for doing that. We'll certainly have that in the show notes. We'll be following you, listening along.
Awesome.
JC, this has been great. I love your approach, and just keep doing more of it. We all need more of this sort of really feet on the street, realistic people helping regular people get to great places in their lives and connecting to their why is a beautiful thing. So thanks for doing that.
Absolutely, Joe. Thanks so much for having me. I'm always willing to talk shop, because as you said, I love the premise of the podcast. As you said, we're not thinking about down the road, right? And everyone needs to be thinking about it. We're not afraid of it, but we're aware of it. So thanks for doing what you do, and at least making people aware of the health span. And there is no excuse why we should decline at the rate that we do. So you keep doing your thing as well, and I'm certainly going to be following. So,
all right. See you soon.
All right. Take care, man.